We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing, and we wish to bring you something concerning the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to you as you go about your shopping, as you travel around, as you walk by. We do pray that you'll be able to take a gospel tract as it's offered to you. We were at the point, why did the Lord Jesus Christ come? Why did he come to this world? What's the purpose of his coming? Well, the Apostle Paul answers that question for us. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, read it for yourselves when you get home, when you go to your Bible, but this is what it says. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. And there we have in that one short verse one reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek and to save sinners. Now there's something that we must realize before we appreciate the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. We must realize that in the sight of God, all of us are sinners. It doesn't matter how young we are. It doesn't matter how old. It doesn't matter how educated we may be. It doesn't matter our social standing. It doesn't matter how well educated we are. It doesn't matter from what part of the world that we come from. We're all one. We all came from Adam. And the Bible's verdict upon us is quite clearly stated in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. What does it say? For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's God's verdict upon your life and upon my life and upon the life of every individual that has ever lived in this earth apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the only sinless individual. All others have sinned. And because of that, we are regarded as sinners in the sight of God. What is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. In other words, sin is not keeping God's law, or it is breaking God's law. And God has given us a law. We have it in the Bible. It's written down for us. It's called the Ten Commandments. Or sometimes it's called the moral law or the Decalogue. But that's the Ten Commandments. And what's more, when God has made us, he has put these commandments on our hearts. That's part of the image of God that's in every single one of us. And God has given us that law, the Ten Commandments. But the sad reality is that none of us have ever kept that law. And because of sin, none of us can possibly keep it. It is impossible for us. But just because it is impossible, God does not let us off. We must keep it. And therefore we have a real predicament. God's law must be kept. We have broken it and we cannot keep it. How then can we possibly be right with God? That's why Jesus came. Jesus fulfilled the law of God. Jesus perfectly kept the law of God. In word, in thought, and in action, he perfectly kept the law of God. And the good news of the gospel is that he kept it on behalf of others. He kept it on behalf of others. And if we believe upon the Lord Jesus, his righteousness can be given to us. That's the gospel story in a nutshell. He died as a sinner, although he was without sin. Yet he took upon himself our sin and the sin of mankind. and paid the penalty of it. The penalty of violating God's law, Jesus paid on the cross. How did he manage that? Well, he managed that when he suffered and when he died. Because the law of God says that whoever breaks the law of God must die because of it. That's why Jesus died. He didn't break it. He kept it, but he kept it on behalf of others, in order that his righteousness might be imputed to those who would believe upon him. And that is why we're out this afternoon, on a sunny Glasgow afternoon, out seeking to bring something from God's word to you, reminding you of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, that one who said, I have not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That was his mission. The Lord Jesus came on a mercy mission. He came from the realms of glory. He came from heaven itself. Why did he do this? He did it in order to save sinners. As the Apostle Paul says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he goes on to say, of whom I am the chief. And there is wonderful encouragement there for every single one of us. Because he says he is the chief of sinners. But he's also speaking as a saved man. Therefore, if the chief of sinners can be saved, surely there's hope for every single one of us. As you pass by this afternoon, you might be listening to this and you might be thinking to yourself, I've done some terrible things in times past. I have not been faithful to my wife, for instance, in times past. Maybe I've cheated the tax man. Maybe I've broken that commandment, thou shalt not steal. No doubt you have broken the commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And no doubt you have broken the commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. In fact, if you look at the commandments, all 10 of them, we have all of us to hold our hands up and say to our shame that we have broken all of these commandments. But here there is a wonderful encouragement in the Word of God, because the Apostle Paul, a saved man, he is telling us that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to save him, of whom he says, I am the chief of sinners. And therefore, friends, we are urged to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not let our sin be an obstacle to us. Do not let your former life be an obstacle to you. The Lord Jesus Christ is one who has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He has not come to call the righteous to repentance. No, he has come to call the unrighteous. He has come to call the sinners to repentance. That's why he's here. That's why he has come. He has come in order to seek and to save that which was lost. He has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Now, we have been talking about sin for a few moments. Where did sin come from, you may well ask? Well, right back in the Garden of Eden, when God made Adam and Eve, they were perfect. They were without sin. But what happened? Eve was tempted. She succumbed to temptation. And she gave the fruit to her husband Adam. And they sinned. And ever since that moment in time, sin came into the world. Sin came into God's perfect world. And things have changed ever since that point of time. The Apostle Paul says in that great book in the New Testament, the book of Romans, he says in chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There in that brief verse, the Apostle Paul is telling us, by the very fact that Adam sinned, he brought sin into this world. You see, Adam was our head. He was what we call our federal head. He was our representative. And because we've all come from him, we've all inherited his sinful nature. And we inherit the guilt of his first sin. When he disobeyed God and ate of the forbidden fruit. And that's how sin entered into this world and to human experience. And that is why today, all of us are sinners in the sight of God, because we have come from Adam, our first father, the one who brought sin into this world. And as sin came into the world, so did all the effects of sin come into this world. Bad weather, for instance, weeds, thistles, sickness, suffering, tears, death itself can all be attributed to sin. There would be no hospitals if there was no sin. There would be no prisons. There would be no graveyards. There would be no wars. There would be no fightings. There would be no battles between people of different skin. None of these things would happen. All of these things have come into the world because Adam sinned and because we are sinners. Sin is a dreadful thing. It is the most powerful thing in the world next to God himself. And the only way that we can deal with sin is to have the Lord Jesus Christ forgive our sins and cleanse us and to give us a new heart. That's why he has come. And that's why we're here this afternoon, to tell you about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message that turned the world upside down. That message that Jesus Christ, the one who is the Son of God, who came down from heaven in order to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's what distinguishes Christianity from every other religion in the world. What is it? It is the fact that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God the Son came down from heaven in order that he might take people back to heaven. And this is absolutely unique. All other religions will tell us, you must do this and do that, and you must work your way to heaven. But Christianity tells you to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to call upon him. He's the one who has come down. He has taken our form and our nature. He has become just like us, sin only excepted, in order that he might save us from our sins. You see, friends, sin is very powerful. It is the most powerful thing in the world. It is the most powerful thing next to God itself. And all the politicians and all the professors that are in our universities and all our lecturers and all those who seek to rule and to govern our country and the nations, they cannot deal with this problem. This problem is too great. It's too powerful. And what's more, they don't even recognize this problem as being the problem. But God has recognized it. God has seen our problem. And because of sin, we are estranged and separated from God, the one who made us and the one who formed us. And he could have left us to perish, but he did not. He did something about it. What did he do about it? He sent forth the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There, friends, you see the love of God. You see that wonderful divine love, the love that gave his Son. And what's more, he did not simply give him and send him to this world. He sent him on a mission. And that mission was to culminate and end on the cross. There, the Son of God was crucified. Why was he crucified? He was crucified in order that he might pay the price of sin. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's why we come out to the street this afternoon, this glorious sunny afternoon that God has made for us. We love to have this freedom to be able to preach the gospel, to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done and what He is doing at God's right hand. You know, there are some people who don't even believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. But that really is not a very sensible position to take, is it? When you think and when you consider that the Lord Jesus Christ, by His coming, actually changed the course of history. Before the time Christ came, history was known by BC, before Christ. But since Christ has come, our times have been known as AD, in the days of our Lord. And to deny the coming of the Lord Jesus is really quite ridiculous. It is to go against all that the Bible says. And what's more, it is to go against even what secular historians say. We don't put any clout or any authority upon secular historians, but nevertheless we quote them because they recognize that there was a person called the Lord Jesus Christ who went about doing good, performing miracles, healing the sick, and ultimately suffered and died on Calvary's tree. And therefore, to deny that the Lord Jesus Christ is an historical figure is really quite ridiculous. But I want to remind you, friends, as you pass by, that as the Lord Jesus came some 2,000 years ago, the next great event in God's calendar, if we can use that expression, is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know the Bible tells us, because the Bible is our textbook and the Bible is the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that before the Lord Jesus Christ shall come, many terrible things shall happen. And there shall be great signs in the heavens and the earth below before He comes again. And we are told that there shall be scoffers who will come in the last days. And they will say words like this: "Where is His coming? Everything has been the same ever since the beginning of time. Nothing has changed." And they'll say to themselves, "Where is His coming? He's not coming. It's all a myth. It's all a legend." But they forget. They forget that the world has changed. The world changed in the days of Noah. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that when He returns, the world will be like it was at the time of Noah. What was it like at the time of Noah? Well, people were eating, people were drinking, people were living their lives as normal. People were getting married and being prepared for marriage. And life in many ways was going on just like normal. But Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah was one who preached the gospel to them for 120 years, telling them that God was going to send a flood. Now this was quite unique and quite unusual, because at this point of time, no one had seen rain. And here was Noah, a single voice in his generation, preaching the message that God was going to send judgment. He was going to send a flood, and the whole earth would be destroyed, and the people were to prepare for that great and terrible day. But they didn't hear. And for 120 years, Noah, as he built this ark, was also telling people to repent and to prepare for that day when the flood would come. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ uses that Old Testament story to tell us that when He returns again, the world will just be like it was in the days of Noah. People will be taken up with the things of this world, and they will not be giving any care or thought to the fact that one day in the clouds you shall see the Lord Jesus Christ coming. Behold, He cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and all the nations of the earth shall mourn and wail because of Him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's what it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Read it for yourself. And the Bible is full of prophecies telling us that one day this world as we know it will change. And it will change when Jesus Christ returns. When He spoke about His return in Matthew chapter 24, He spoke to His disciples. We call it eschatology, which is the study of last times. There in that chapter, He tells us about the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened in AD 70, some 40 years after the crucifixion of Christ. Again, something that He had prophesied would happen, and it did happen. But He also tells, He also prophesies of that time when He shall return in power and in great glory. And He says these words, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall never pass away." And He's reminding us, friends, that we are to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He tells us, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall never pass away." And what He's telling us and warning us is, this world as we know it will pass. The old world, the world in Noah's time, passed when it was flooded. The topography or the environment changed dramatically after that flood. And this present world, this world that you and I live in today, one day, friends, it will change. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall never pass away." Yes, He said He would return. That is true. And it will change when He returns. The Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 that this present world that we live in is reserved for fire. It is reserved for fire. The old world, Noah's world, was destroyed by water. This world, this heaven, and this earth that we know and see today is destined to be destroyed by fire. I do believe that there will be some world statesmen and women in Glasgow in November. And they'll be here as part of a climate conference. And they'll be concerned about climate warming and global warming. And they're going to be coming here and they're going to tell us how they're going to change the weather. And how they're going to tell us change our lives and increase our taxes and we'll sort out global warming. Well, friends, I've got news for you. The Bible tells us some 2,000 years ago that this present world is destined to be destroyed by fire. And it will not be brought about by climate change or anything else. It will be brought about by the sovereign work of the living God. He's the one who made heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
So God's going to be the one that brings the hellfire, not the fact that we're using plastics and fossil fuels.
Excellent. He's listening. He's beginning to realize that there is no such thing as man-made climate change or global warming.
Such thing as man-made climate change,
you're
a fucking
liar. That's
you're a liar. I'm a liar, then he
says. You're a fucking liar. Oh, no. There's no need for. There's children about. We believe the Bible. We're not afraid to or ashamed to quote it. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There you'll find it in God's word, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. We'll stand upon God's word because God's word is Christ's word. And what did Christ say? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. God's word will never fall to the ground. Never fall to the ground. It is God's word. God cannot lie. God is not like a man. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't repent. And therefore, that's why we're here this afternoon to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who speaks with power, who speaks with authority. Why does he do that? Because he has come down from heaven. No other person has ever come down from heaven. He has. He's the Son of God. He has taken upon himself our form, our nature, our flesh. He has become like us in order that he might tell us the way to heaven. And he is unique, absolutely unique. All other religions are false. Christianity alone is the way to heaven. Jesus said himself, did he not say this in John chapter 14, verse 6? I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No one comes to heaven except they come by Jesus Christ. Salvation is found in none other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, friends, who will you listen to? Will you listen to the Word of God? Will you listen to God's Word? Will you listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away? What a challenge, friends. Here we are today. We're telling you the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We're telling you to put your faith in him. We're telling you that he's the one who has come from heaven. Why has he come down from heaven? Why did he leave the realms of glory? Why did he leave that place of happiness, of bliss, of blessedness? Why did he come down to the sin-cursed world? He came down in order to save sinners. And how did he do that? He did that by going to the cross. Yes, the cross. And the gospel, friends, the gospel that we proclaim is, when you believe in the Lord Jesus, what happens? Your sins are forgiven. Your sins, all of your sins, they're all forgiven. You have a new start, a new heart, a new nature. Something wonderful and glorious happens when you believe upon the Lord Jesus. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You receive eternal life. You don't work for eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. The Lord Jesus Christ gives that gift. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You'll find that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and verses 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. No wonder, friends, we're out this afternoon for a few moments, seeking to bring something of the gospel to you. We're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland, continuing. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, just off Dumbarton Road, up from the police station. We give you all a warm welcome. We meet on the Lord's Day at 11 a.m. and again at 6:30 p.m. And we meet on Wednesday evening also at 7:30. We give you all a warm welcome. You'll hear more about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as we find it in God's Word. May the Lord bless His Word to you this afternoon.